Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're at State Fair in Catonsville, Maryland, the Ville, as this man calls it, my cohort, co-host with Barbara Mikulski and with Dutch Ruppersberger, Malia Cromer. We're now to episode 4, Don Moeller. In the Ville.
I've lost track of the episodes. Episode something, right?
Well, we're here with one of your friends and Baltimore guy, and a guy that I've done some video with and been on his program. I thought you were just Center Maryland, but you're KO Public Relations, Damien O'Doherty, correct?
Yeah, we call it KO Public Affairs. It's that cruel intersection between media, politics, government, commerce, and community. So it's a tough place to be if you're a leader.
So what does that mean? I mean, let's break that down, because I want everyone to know what you do, and I'm asking in a good way because I feel like I know you pretty well. I don't know what you do, really. Like, I've never met you in the elevator speech where I say, give me 5 minutes on what all that's about and the Martin O'Malley thing and building campaigns and, you know, tell us what goes into running a campaign where you're trying to run for president or run for governor, run for mayor, or win something.
You know, I got all my start really just running campaigns for the business community. I got a start in Montgomery County working for the realtors, then went on to Washington. So I've always sort of had an outside perspective, and you mentioned Martin O'Malley. I was more like the Spike Lee to Martin O'Malley's Patrick Ewing than anything. I was sort of one step outside, had the best seats in the whole place. He had very professional campaign people, but I'm always sort of the person that has the closest ties to the business community, CEOs, leaders like that, and they get caught in these intersections like you're reading about now. Some people have done good things and are caught in bad situations. Some people have done bad things, and they need to come forward and tell the truth and reset their place in the public sphere, and that's sort of what we help leaders do.
But it's more than that, right, Damien? And we're going to talk about quite a bit this morning. We're going to talk about Baltimore, its challenges. We're going to talk about success stories across the nation. But when you talk about a public affairs firm, it's not just, people sometimes think it's just candidates and government, but you are very much involved in the business sector as well.
Yeah, I mean, one great example you would know here in Baltimore is when William Donald Schaefer wanted to do Harbor Place, he had to rely on a whole cohort of business leaders, and then somebody had to organize those business leaders.
That was Rouse. Rouse is the name that sticks 40 years later.
Right.
His guy was more than just Jim Rouse.
His guy was Rick Burnt, right?
Okay.
So Rick is a great Maryland lawyer and strategist. And so I always wanted to be like that. And I had a chance to do the redevelopment of downtown Columbia, which is a Jim Rouse piece. I had the chance to do the advertising that surrounded the passage of the referendum that allowed for National Harbor. Worked on Port Covington, Harbor Point. My real joy as a former land use lawyer is utilizing all my understanding about public opinion to try to get people to buy into new communities. And when I say buy in, to feel like, hey, you know, Baltimore deserves a Port Covington. Baltimore deserves a Harbor Point. You know, Prince George's County needs a National Harbor. Downtown Columbia was sort of a museum to the 1970s. How do we make it so Meriwether's a focal point?
By the way, I drove down there the other night.
Incredible.
I was down there for M3, and I know you've been a big proponent. Gene Parker's a dear friend of mine. The second lawns up there. If you haven't been to Meriwether,
the best.
I mean, I've been going to Meriwether since I was a kid. I mean, since 1982 and Madonna.
Absolutely.
You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the roof. There's now skyboxes at Meriwether.
There's a second level at skyboxes at Meriwether.
But there's also a sky lawn, so you can come out of your box and you're on
a
lawn at the roof.
There's a lawn in the sky at Meriwether now on the roof.
But isn't it interesting? We have three different really age groups sitting here. Each of us
going to be the young one.
Each of us has Meriwether stories.
What's your favorite Meriwether story?
Well, I have a number of Meriwether.
Did you pee in the fountain at the Dead Show back in 78?
I will tell you, I have two that stick out, and my poor wife is going to cringe. One was a Jimmy Buffett concert.
Well,
and it
that
was
always
so
involves an
oversold that it was a mad rush to get in once they opened the gates. And
seats?
You know, Linda is about 5 feet tall. I literally thought she was lost in this wave of people. It was actually terrifying. The concert ended up being great, but it
there were lizards and dinosaurs and parrots.
Yeah, fins
and
all around.
Fins, you know, sharks,
fins, sharks
all
around. That one. But then the other one was, we actually saw Tim McGraw And the opening act was Kenny Chesney before anybody knew what Kenny Chesney was all about. And in the middle of that show, the skies opened up. I mean, thunder, lightning, and we were. It was the last time I've ever been on the lawn.
If you've been to Meriwether enough, you've been wet.
You've been wet, and I mean, we were so wet, and we were miserable. But again, it just showed me. I don't know. At that time, I was probably in my 40s, you know, mid 40s.
Young.
I was young, much younger, maybe 50, but younger than I am now, certainly. And I'm thinking, this is absolutely miserable. And I thought, everything is in the eye of the beholder, because I look around me and these college
Fins
kids
to the left.
Have created
right.
slip
Why
and slides, and they're diving
drunk.
Around. So, Meriwether is a great treasure. And, you know, when we talk about Baltimore positive, this is the great thing. We think of it, Damien, and you can react to this. We think of Baltimore positive as a region. You know, right now, today, we sit at this great restaurant
Thank
in Catonsville.
You.
We're going to do a number of events in the city. We're talking to a lot of city restaurants, but it's a region, and Meriwether's part of that region.
Absolutely, and to see what's happened out there. I mean, Jim, tell me your favorite Meriwether story.
Oh, my God, I got hundreds and hundreds. I mean, I have too many to tell you. I mean, I was a music critic down there. That's how I know Gene. I've known Gene since 1986.
She's a legend.
So I've known Gene for 33 years. And, you know, Gene has her own. We should bring Gene on one. I mean, Gene, her stories of starting there and really, I don't think she's ever worked anywhere else.
That's right.
Literally in her whole life. And the little house. I went there this last trip up to the little house where I've picked up tickets and I've parked my car and I've done things in the woods that I cannot admit publicly. But the house is now, the whole thing has been remodeled to a point where it was like I had never been there before. Like, literally, I went, and I saw Gene, and I'm like, what is this thing called Meriwether? It has moved into a 2.0. It's this century's Meriwether.
We just launched a full symphony. It's going to be at Meriwether.
Well, that was the reason it was built. It was
That's
called
right.
Symphony Woods.
That's right.
Well, I wrote the 25-year history of it when I worked at the Sun.
Come on!
No, you can Google it. You can check it out.
Come on!
It's one of the ways I met Gene was in 1986, 87, 80. Maybe it was the 15-year anniversary, because I think it opened in 71 or 72, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
no, yeah, that sounds right. That sounds would know.
Well, I did a story for the Evening Sun back in the late 80s on the history of Meriwether, and I could certainly I'll find it.
Columbia
I'll
was 67.
Scan it and I will send it to you. It was a lead story on the Evening Sun. I mean, very few times I was on the front page of the actual paper, but I was that day.
And let me tell you,
remember that.
So why should people go to the new Meriwether?
Well, look, it's owned by the community, right? So the Howard Hughes Corporation basically said, look, if you and the county, Ken Allman did an amazing job, Ian Kennedy, who runs the nonprofit, and is actually a great grassroots leader who came all the way up from saving Meriwether. They were going to turn it General Growth.
They've tried to kill Meriwether several times, right?
Yeah, they were going to turn it into a target.
Yeah.
And Ian Kennedy and Ken Allman and all these guys and gals stood up and said, no way over my dead body.
Well, Seth Hurwitz had a role in that too, yeah?
Seth Hurwitz is amazing. If he's in Green Book, by the way, if you see the movie, Seth is in the Green Book. But Meriwether is special to me because Jim Rouse was a pure Baltimorean. And Columbia is special to me because he's a pure Baltimorean, and he said, you know, I'm going to take all the best seeds of Baltimore without the racial inequity, without the sort of segregation past, and I'm going to drop these wonderful Baltimore seeds in this farm field in Columbia. And now it's the number one community in America. The top IPO in cyber is now headquartered there. They're going to put a...
Cyber's headquartered? Can we fix Baltimore's cyber issue?
We have the best cyber people.
Yeah,
we have the best cyber
that.
People here. And, you know, look, and let's talk about Baltimore for a second.
By the way, Damien O'Doherty here. I just want to reset. KO, it's Baltimore Positive and WNST.
State Fair.
State Fair.
What did you have to eat this morning? Every time I come in here, you're eating something different, and it looks fantastic.
Your daughter is a miracle, and I don't know. Maybe we should save that for the third segment, save the best for last. But she came in, and I had... Bananas Foster French toast that was like six slices of French toast, and I had eaten like three, and I was starting to roll out of here. And then your daughter came and picked me up, so she ate my final. And Avi, good? She's too busy.
She says
the
it
internet.
Says
She's
it was great.
The world.
So right here in the middle,
she's
of
writing her doctoral dissertation in nine over here right now. So,
but let's jump back to Baltimore because again, we're talking about Baltimore, the region. how we get this thing re-energized, turned around. We, I always say, you said Damien and I have known each other for a long time. Damien's Paradise guy. Now, those who live over here on the west side, you know, you go down a few blocks, that part of Catonsville is called Paradise. He and I...
Why both, is it called Paradise?
That's just... I don't know why it's called Paradise. Do you know? That's, gosh, we ought to research that, Damien.
That's what the bus line says.
One but, of my favorite songs ever, the Bodines, Paradise. You should Google that one.
Well, right down, you know, a couple blocks east of here is the area of Catonsville known as Paradise. Damien and I both grew up there. And when folks ask us about our passion for Baltimore, I joke, if you grow up, but if you grow up in Paradise, you truly are as much Baltimore City as you are Baltimore County, right?
No doubt about it.
I mean, bus line right there.
I took the bus to school. I took the MTA bus to school to St. Joe with my football equipment. I had to wear it because sometimes those Edmondson kids would come after us.
So the city line, literally, Nestor, from Paradise, is a few football fields. So again, it makes...
Paradise, it ain't hard to find looking out your window at the world outside. It ain't far away.
There you go.
Here in my head, it's just another day here in Paradise. There you go.
So right down the street. But it captures this whole concept of Baltimore Positive. Because literally, as I said, just a few football fields away from Baltimore County is Baltimore City line. So we are all, as and I'm going to say it every week, joined at the hip. We believe in the city. You got three folks here today who believe in the city. Nestor, it's a quiz. Before we turned and asked Damien what he thinks some of the keys are, we've had Dutch, we've had Malia, we've had Senator Mikulski. I think there are themes developing. Now what do you hear them saying?
My biggest theme, and I think one of the reasons we're sitting in Catonsville, is that for the city to flourish again, people in Bel Air, Aberdeen, White Marsh, Catonsville, Ellicott City, Columbia need to come back to Baltimore City. And I hear the voices. And Malia and I fought about it last week, and that's fine. She can have her poll, and we'll find out. My poll, my straw poll on the places where I live and touch people, as I've done for three decades, is that I'm hearing people saying, I'm not going to the city, and I'm never going. And people say never. That's their, you know, they say, I'm never going back. It's not never. You're not coming back until we fix it, until you feel safe, until we have things that make you want to come back. But safe is where it begins. And I think the squeegee boys and the homeless and fear and all of that go into the Baltimore narrative that probably began with The Wire and now has riots and a corrupt mayor that we're up against that. But we also have an election, and I think we have a real referendum for reform here to say, let's make a new Baltimore so that 5 years from now, all those people in the outside feel good about coming to Baltimore, want to come to Baltimore. We change the narrative the way Detroit, Cleveland, Charlotte, Nashville, so many of these, New York, in our lifetime. When I was a child, I couldn't go to New York, right?
You know, Martin O'Malley did a lot of great things for the city. One of the things he did, he didn't quite get right. He put on all of the, he's a very aspirational dude, he put on all of the benches, the greatest city in America.
I remember that.
Right? And that was audacious. But he almost got it right. It's the greatest story in America. We're the greatest storytellers. You're one of the greatest stories. Don is one of the greatest storytellers. That's what Baltimore needs to recapture, is the story. And I think if we get back to sort of our engineer roots, the people that built the first railroad in the Western Hemisphere right through where we are today, and we start talking about fixing things and moving things forward instead of going into a blame cycle, which seems to be
right.
The last 20 years, it's just everything turns into a blame cycle. They're talking, oh, there's a water main break at Pimlico. You know, is it Hogan's fault? Is it the mayor's fault? Is it O'Malley? It's
just
like,
fix it.
Fix it. You know,
I think people are I think that is spot on. And that's what's happening in these conversations. We get smart people talking about what needs to happen, because you're right, it's just fix it. I heard the other night, I happened to be in an event and Mayor Jack Young spoke, and we spoke afterwards, and it was really encouraging, because when Mayor Young got up, what he said basically was, we got a new sheriff in town. Not basically, I think that's a direct quote. He said, it's a new sheriff in town, and he said, I'm telling you what, we're going to make things work again. And I think you're right, Damien. I don't think people give two diddlies about who gets credit. They want things fixed.
Everybody gets credit when you get off an airplane. You say, I'm from Baltimore, and you live in Colorado. And they look at you and say, oh, that's a great place. They don't say that now. Perception-wise or whatever, we all win when we get off a plane and say we're from Baltimore. And that is a good perception. The whole community wins.
That's right.
And we all lose when the perception is fires, riots, corrupt mayors, poverty, crime, a place I don't want to go, a place I don't want to have dinner, a place I don't want to have my convention, a place I don't want my daughter to go to college. We've been on Hopkins campus here. Image is everything, as Andre Agassi would say. You've been an image maker and a storyteller and a creator for this. Part of this narrative is there's going to have to be some guy or girl like you and some leader who leads this Mayor Schaefer thing with this narrative and this new infusion of something great's going to happen here between now and 2030, and we need to... It's not going to happen tomorrow morning.
We need a leader that's not going to be focused on leading a staff of people or a particular constituency.
Or how about a campaign? The minute you win, you start leading another campaign.
All great things are built by everybody. I mean, you know, we talk about what's going on in Columbia, or you see what's going on in other parts of the state where things are really happening. It's because everybody came together, and the leader was sort of a selfless person that allowed everybody to feel like they have a part. When I say I had something to do with Columbia, there's thousands of people that had a lot more to do with it than I ever did.
Don, you ran Baltimore County. You were number two. You were 16 years. 16 years of public service. And what is – give me your story – play mayor of Baltimore County, which you essentially were for a little while. What's the one thing in those 16? That's a lot of time, 16 years. What's the thing that when we're talking your eulogy and say, Dom was a part of this and this was the thing, you're the proudest of Baltimore County. One project that may or may not have happened at one point, right? I mean, when I talk about the Ravens may or may not have happened, right? Camden Yards may or may not have happened.
Well,
just to give you a minute to think about it, Mikulski told us about the highway that was going to run up Boston Street through the city, and Schaefer, and it was done, and Schaefer called her and told her, you've been beaten down, and she called Schaefer back and said, you won. She thought she had the votes, and the people
lied
to her.
You know what she said? She said, if the British couldn't take Fells Point and the rats couldn't take Fells Point, I'll be damned if the State Highway Administration's going to take Fells Point.
I mean, but that's a story that she said, the Fort McHenry Tunnel really happened because Barb Mikulski stood on a table and got pissed off and got people involved, and that changed the course of Baltimore history. I think that footbridge over the city, it's an unbelievable concept that can be a gateway arch kind of thing for us, a peace bridge, whatever you want to call it.
I hope we name it after Nancy Pelosi.
Absolutely. Along with D'Alessandro Way. Listen, the question you ask is important because I think we heard it from Dutch. I'm going to come back. We got a lot to talk about.
We got a million things to talk about.
Certainly, Damien's role and what Malia said about public engagement. I really want to get into that. But to get to your question, because I think it builds on what Damien just said about it's the people coming together. Senator Mikulski was really clear, and in a roundabout way, I'll get to your question about Baltimore County. Senator Mikulski was really clear that we've got to stop waiting for Superman or Superwoman. She was crystal clear, I thought. She said, and she was fond of Don Schaefer. They were friends. She said, everybody wants to point to the past, and the senator's not big on nostalgia.
Oh, she hated
and
it. She calls it nostalgia.
Nostalgia. She's not big on nostalgia. She wants to look forward.
He lost 110,000 residents during his reign. Nobody wants to talk about his reality.
That's what she said. Let's move beyond that because the strength is in the people. The people coming together, demanding change, making the city better, working with the leadership. It's about the people. It's not Superman or Superwoman. Now, where that story goes, and again, I had the opportunity to tell it the other evening, there are many. I mean, I was fortunate in those 16 years, and we're going to talk in a later segment about the folks Damien's worked with because I think we get lessons from the people we worked with, and they're all very different. So I was very fortunate. I mean, I worked in the school system closely with Dutch before I came to the government side. Then I worked with Jim Smith, Kevin Kamenetz, three very, very different folks, but all with a real crystal clear vision of what they wanted to do. And as Dutch said, holding people accountable. Now, the Baltimore County story that resonates with me each and every day is the one that took place less than a week after I was appointed by the council, and that was these massive floods again in Ooella, Ellicott City, and Catonsville.
Right.
And it's safe to say, it's not an exaggeration, it would be difficult for you to find a Catonsville resident who did not have water in their basement. after that flood. I mean, I'm down in my basement. Linda and I are bailing. We've got 3 feet of water. Everybody had water in their basements in Catonsville. Well,
I don't think that's well known. I think people think it's an Ellicott City issue, not a Catonsville issue.
Catonsville got hammered in that storm.
But we all
We're Patapsco River Valley folks, right? It's one river. We're on either side.
So people's basements were ruined. Refrigerators, TVs, sofas, chairs.
Ravens paraphernalia.
Tracks, Nordic tracks. So what we began to hear very quickly was, we don't know what to do. We can get the stuff out of our house, but what do? We don't have any way to get rid of it. So we quickly called the Department of Public Works together. This goes back when Damien says, let's make things work. And again, it's other people to get credit. It's not Don Moeller that gets credit. Call the Public Works folks together, and we say, Steve Walsh was the director, and we say, Steve, do we have the manpower or women power trucks that if we wanted to, could we just send trucks for the next 2 weeks through Catonsville, have people call in with their addresses, go to their house, get the stuff from their curb, and get it to the dump? And he goes, Don, we've never done that, but yeah, we could reallocate our resources.
Let's find a way.
So for two weeks, men and women from the Department of Public Works go through the streets of Catonsville picking up junk that had been ruined from people and getting it out
because
of their way.
Because this is the best use of our humanity.
You would have thought that we had written a check for $1 million to the residents of Catonsville. So I thought that was the story, but the story gets better. So 2 weeks later, Steve and I go over to the shop down in Halethorpe to thank the men and women who had done that, who had gone door to door, who had gotten rid of all this stuff.
And these are county employees.
County employees. Right. And I get up to thank them, and a hand goes up.
How many people are there there?
Oh, there were 50 in that room.
That's a lot of people.
40 or 50
that's
in that
room. That's a nice room. Okay.
Hand goes up and said, no, Mr. Executive, you don't understand. We want to thank you. And I'm going, we took coffee and donuts over and said, you guys did a great job. Thanks. No, we want to thank you. And I said, you want to thank me? And it gets right back to Damien's point that we do it together. He said, we spend all of our time fixing sidewalks, fixing potholes, unclogging storm
drains. Nobody ever comes up and says thank you.
You nailed it, Nestor. We never see a citizen that we work for. They said these people were so appreciative, they couldn't thank us enough. They'd bring us out something that was amazing. They said we went home feeling better than we've ever felt in our life about our job. Message being, the people of Baltimore County are good. The workers were good. They were working hard. We heard that from Dutch. And I guarantee you, it's exactly the same in the city. We just have to tap into that energy.
We all have it in us, a sense of contribution. We all want to be involved in some way.
That's right.
And then we want to be appreciated for what happens, right?
That's exactly right. And, I think the first part of my career was sort of all about achievement and trying to get to the right place at the right time and make my grandfather and my family proud. But, the next phase of my life is to make sure that I really identify the people that have the best skills and the best talents and just cheer them on to try to make some stuff happen. And that's why I'm here today. That's why I always trying to talk Nestor into public service, because he has the magic light, which is passion. And then he also has, as we saw today as we were setting up, he's very decisive. He knows what he wants. And if you're going to put your hands on the wrong thing, he's going to say, I don't want
your
hands right.
We have to sit in a certain spot, don't we?
Look. I've told the story about Harbaugh dumping water all over my computer. That's not good. Only I'm allowed
people
to
people like direction. We like direction. It's fine.
We sense the passion. It's probably a pretty good place to take a break, get a cup of coffee.
State Fair.
Grab some more eggs.
Here. By the way, I came in this morning. I didn't have coffee this morning because I'm taking care of my cat. My wife's away. And I came in and I realized at like 9:15, I had been up since 4 in the morning. I hadn't had a cup of coffee. And I came in. I said, you got good coffee here? So we got great coffee here. Great coffee here. So State Fair in Catonsville, I had the Bananas Foster. Avi helped me. She's now on the internet talking to
Avi's working
China
hard.
And Mandarin or something. I'm not sure what she's doing. Damien Adarty here, KO Public Affairs.
And we'll be right back.
We are Baltimore Positive and WNST.net, AM 1570 at WNST Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.